All right, let's go. First of all, I want to wish Bobby Orr happy birthday. I know a lot of people.
How much would he be making today?
Oh, well, I'm not kidding.
Well, I think that's a good story to tell. I think we told it once before when you were working on my stick. And it was Bobby was negotiating and Eagleson was negotiating for a new contract. So pick up the story from there.
It's a true story. Honestly, this is a true story. I was working on Tim's stick, and Bobby was at the end. We weren't talking. He was at the far end of the dressing room. And when a player is injured, he never hangs around. He'll go in after, or they used to. They didn't want to, you know, burden the players or anything. So there he was working on the bike and going heavy on the bike, and I'm working on the stick. And all of a sudden, Paul Mooney comes in. Paul Mooney was the president, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Something. Anyhow, he was one of the big guys. And he came in, he looked at me, I remember he was smoking a pipe. And he looked at me, you know, nobody liked me. And he went and talked to Bobby. And I couldn't hear him because he was talking the other way. But I could kind of hear him mumble, "Bobby, just listen to me for a minute." And I remember Bobby, as clear as a bell, saying, "Get away from me. You're trying to wedge between Al Eagleson and myself." If Bobby only had a listen, well, he's doing pretty good right now. But they were going to offer him 18% of the club. 18% of the club. What is the billions now? And they're going to offer him 18% of the club plus a pretty good salary. And he was.
And Eagleson didn't tell him that.
And they had told Eagleson that, and Eagleson didn't tell him. And it goes on and on, and then he goes to Chicago, and when he was introduced, the owner called him Bobby Hull.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he called him Bobby Hull. Anyhow, it's his birthday, and they did offer him 18% of the club.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
So what would he be making now?
I don't know. I don't know. All right. Just to give you when he played for me, the year he played for me, again, what did he get? 46 goals, 87 assists, and he was plus 123. I mean, guys, well, we'll talk about the...
Well, that's like Boston. They just, they traded for that, what was his name, Hampus Lindholm, and they signed him 8 years, $50 million.
I hate to think what Bobby would be making today, but he's doing pretty good.
So probably as they say, this is Sunday morning, so the big day is tomorrow is the trade deadline. But the one team that's kind of moved at is Florida. They got Ben Chiarot from Montreal, big defenseman.
Yeah, and
remember, him and Weber, Shea Weber last year, I mean, they played a ton, and they went to the finals for a first-round pick. And then they got Claude Giroux for...
Tim, I hate to jump in here, but the only club that he'd go to is Florida. I guess he's going to retire. They got Owen Thibodeau, pretty good little player. I like that guy.
Yeah, I remember what we watched. You know what I remember about Owen Thibodeau? We watched him play. I think he played for the Toronto Red Wings, and they weren't a very good. They were in middle of the road club, and they were playing the Toronto Marlies, which were always the powerhouse, and they were up by a goal in the third period, and Owen Thibodeau played the whole third period. Like, the coach didn't get him off the ice. He was just exhausted after that game. But my question, Dad, is Florida, so they got Chiarot. He's going to be...
They're loading up.
He's going to play big. And then Giroux, he's going to be playing big time. Now, they're in first place right now, first overall in the league.
I hate to say this, but the regular season means nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's what you do in the playoffs.
So that wouldn't throw off a team having two...
There's two guys on that team that are playing right now that aren't going to play. And it does throw it must throw them, you know, and they're first place and they're playing good, and they're still not drawn. I watch the games and I see the empty seats. But anyhow, two guys on that team that have been playing regular aren't playing, and they'll bond together when they'll watch the games. And you know, I have to let you know, they always say that they're cheering. They're not cheering for the club. They're hoping the guy does the lousy. I mean, be honest about the whole thing.
That's like hockey moms or hockey goalie moms. Yeah, you know what? Right. The other goalie's in. I hope we lose big.
Well, that's the way that's the way life is. Anyhow, Tim, what else is
it? So Tampa, they got that Brandon Hagel from Chicago.
There's a guy that would not quit. I just can't believe that here was a guy. I forget what he was. He was a sixth round pick to Buffalo. And somehow, but you got to admire Chicago. They give him a minor league contract and kept him going. He got 9 goals last year. And what's he got?
21. Right
21 now.
You know what he kind of reminds you of? Tampa got him is that Braden Point. He's kind of that same kind of gritty, smaller, gritty, scores a lot of goals.
Tough little guy.
Yeah. So they got him for Tyler Raddysh. We saw him play for Toronto Marlies.
We saw all those guys play.
Those guys. The Avalanche, they're gearing up for Calgary. They got Josh Manson.
I don't think they need anybody. Well, Calgary, pretty good club. Looks like when they turn it on.
Yeah, it was funny. We were saying Daryl Sutter got mad the other day that they were playing
His press
Buffalo.
Conferences are better than the game sometimes.
Yes. So they lost 1-0 to Buffalo, and it was kind of a weird game. And Eric Branson, he got cut. I guess he got cut in the third period, and it took him 33 minutes. Sutter sits down, and he says that he was mad. He says, Gabranson took 33 minutes for him to get stitched. He says, holy smokes. He says, when I'm on the farm, it takes me 3 minutes to sew up a cow or a horse.
Well, I don't think they're quite the same. But I remember when I used to get stitched, doctors used to say, they were trained to say, one more, just one more stitch. And you
no anesthetic, no local.
Oh, no.
No local.
Well, the worst one, though, I think we told the story once before, but it'd be worth you getting sewed up at the bottom of your foot.
Oh, I never forgot that. And I've never seen nurses with tears in their eyes. The guy sewed up the bottom of my foot. Doctor, I forget his name now. He sewed up the bottom of my foot with no anesthetic. God, and I was only a kid. I was only 20 years old.
That's because back then, the skates were tube skates, and they didn't have the little white clip at the back, and it went right through your skate. And
Eddie Panigapko, I remember I hit Eddie Panigapko, or tried to hit him, and his skate went right up to the bottom of my skate, and he fell over and just tore off. And the guy sewed up the bottom of my foot.
How many games did you miss?
Oh, I missed and the first game back was in Providence. I'll never forget it. And there was a guy on that team called Jimmy Bartlett. Like, he could really throw him. And I got in a fight with him, and I lost the fight. And I remember a guy sitting beside me. I won't say his name. We were really surprised you lost that front. I looked at him as if to say, I first game back. And, you know, it was.
You can say his name, Dad.
No. Dead now. But.
Okay.
You know,
well, that was like yesterday. We were watching Maroon and Reeves went at it.
Pretty good. That was pretty good, and Maroon held his own pretty good on. And I was surprised. Of course, Reeves was after him.
Yeah, because Maroon ran their goalie.
Yeah, I mean when you.
Yeah, but you know, I saw that the goalie was out of his crease behind the bench or behind the net. Is he not free?
No, he's not.
You can't hit a goalie even when he's out of his crease. Even when he's out of his crease.
No.
Behind the net.
No.
Trying to clear the puck. No.
No, you're supposed to avoid the goalie. And that's why he had the fight. And that was a pretty good fight.
Yeah. Well, that we're saying there are a lot of fights. Well, they're going to be around 300 fights this season.
300.
Oh, man. The violence.
The violence of it all.
The violence.
And they're pretty good fights, too, I got to admit.
Yeah.
The guys aren't fooling.
I just don't know how they don't hurt their hands more with those visors.
They throw a lot of, I don't know.
And Nashville beat Toronto last night. They lead the league in fights.
And they call themselves Smashville.
Smashville.
I like
right?
that.
Well, that's, you know, like, that's good marketing because you know in the South.
Oh, yeah.
In Nashville, Tennessee, they're going to like rough, tough hockey, right?
Darn right.
And they, you know, during the playoffs, they used to get like an old beat-up car, and they paint it with the other team's logo, and then for X amount of dollars, you could take a sledgehammer to it, and they gave the money to charity. Remember that? Remember they were smashing all the...
That reminds me of that scene in Slapshot when they're wrecking the bus, and then we want it to look tough.
Yeah, making it look mean.
As long as it looked mean, and I like the word Smashville, and they pack them in. And And you can say what you want. They're packing them in. And what gets me is, I know I mentioned it once before, is that Florida's not selling out with a team like that.
Yeah.
If you're not going to sell it with a team like that, you're never going to sell it.
Yeah. So, Dad, Leafs last night, Saturday, it was Saturday night. They lost to Nashville. And
I can't. One goal, I think, the kid.
Schellen. Eric Schellen. It doesn't look like that because it's K-A-L-L-G-R-E-N.
Yeah, I thought it's Kelgen.
Yeah.
But I can blame him on one goal. But
Would you just keep going with him?
Well, I'd give him one more game and see what happens. But to me, I'd go with Supi Campbell in the playoffs. I mean, that's going to be a tough playoffs.
Boy. Yeah, it always happens the way Matthews is out two games, and they win both those games. Tavares moves up, plays with Marner and Bunting, plays his two best games of the season, I think. Matthews comes back. Tavares goes back down to the next line, plays with Nylander.
Yeah, but you can't knock that Matthews. He gets another goal. By the way,
he hit two posts last night, too.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if he's one of those guys that like to hear the ding. Remember Rene Ritterberg?
Yeah.
I used to say, Rene, quit. He used to like, you know, like he was skating around. He used to like to hear the ding, ding, ding. And when you get the puck, like Bing, you know, you just shoot fast right away. You shoot at the post. I mean, he did pretty good with the French Connection line, I guess. But I don't know. To me, Matthews, I cannot believe a guy growing up in Arizona has a touch he's got. Yeah. I think he would have been a good baseball player, too.
Do you think he should have got those two? Like, because we haven't talked since then. Do you think he should have got the two games?
No. I think he's... Because he'd never been in trouble before, and they were going back and forth. I think it did kind of run up a little bit. He's fallen right into the trap, and it was a big headline that he's not going to take that stuff anymore. That's exactly what Crosby did. Remember Crosby? He used to fight back all the time, and that's okay. He'd go off, but the fourth guy in the fourth line, he'd go off, they'd run him. And then he learned, and I used to remember Crosby and I used to give him heck and be stupid.
Which is exactly what they were trying to avoid when they put in the instigator rule. So, I mean, the irony is that now they can pick on the superstars, right?
Yeah. You go over and try to protect your superstar. Say you're the third guy in, you grab the guy, you'll get a 2, 5, and a 10. Tim, is that right?
Yep. We watched that game, the outdoor game. It was Sunday, so we're just talking about it. So it was Buffalo-Toronto, played in Hamilton at the Tim Horton Field.
Yeah.
Tim Horton has his number retired by both Buffalo and Toronto, and they ran like a 30-second piece on Tim
That's
Horton.
That's it.
That's it.
Unbelievable.
Well, at least they run the 30-second.
Well, that's the thing that we talked about, Dad, that hockey, the NHL and hockey do not seem to embrace their past like baseball and football do.
Well, I Joe Montana, I watched that there, boy, and all he could talk about how tough he was and how he took the hits.
That's like we talked a little bit about, I don't think it's the NHL. It's the media and the people and the broadcasters.
They make fun of... make fun of the old timers and that. It's old time hockey, you know, like that's old time hockey. But that's right. That's old time hockey. As I said a couple of shows before, the Europeans must think they've died and gone to heaven to come to this league. There is absolutely no hitting at all. But when there is a hit, whoa, and the guys do not know how to take a hit now because somebody went to them in the minor leagues and went to the mothers and said, "Do you believe safety in hockey?"
That was the question. They wanted to take hitting out of the minor hockey.
And they did.
That's what they said. Do you believe in safety in minor hockey? And do you should the game be less violent? So what are the mothers going to say? Like, and then they come back and say, "Well, see, we talked to all the hockey parents and they were all for it." That was the actual question. I was one of my friends who I went to school with, works in television, and this was maybe about 15 years ago, that there was a certain television station that wanted to do a show, the violence in hockey, minor hockey. So what they did was they got television crews right from coast to coast, north and south, to go and show the fights in the crowd and the ice and everything like that.
Yeah, they wanted to emphasize also the parents, how bad the parents were
and everything. So they went, and the next day they went. They all kind of went in for the meeting, and they said, "What do you got?" And like, "No, I don't have a lot." And like, it was like all from all over. Well, you know, what Vancouver? What'd you get? Well, I got a parent kind of yelling, but that's about it. And so they said, "Well, then, okay, let's do it again." So they spent big dough again, probably like 10, 15 crews to go.
We're
out.
We're paying
to,
for it
all over the place, and again, nothing happened. And so they canceled the story that they were going to do. So the one guy said, "Well, isn't that the story that we went out to try to find it, and there wasn't anything there?" And they said, and the producer of the thing said, "No, that's not what we want," and killed the story.
Well, I believe that. And
there's nothing quieter than watching a game of midget AAA. I mean, you don't even know who scored half the time.
We saw one fight.
Parents don't clap or anything.
No, we go, Tim. We never see. Very seldom. We never hear.
Yeah, it's like when you get
very quiet.
It's very quiet. It is. It's like a church sometimes.
Well, they're afraid to.
Right.
Or they'll be labeled. Whose son is that? Whose mother is that?
Yeah. So getting back, just quickly, Dad, getting back to the game on Saturday night with the Leafs and the Nashville. I remember you were talking about how you hated the shots, and we've talked about this before, that are about 3 feet off the ice and hit the goalie right in the chest. And there was, I think it was Cousins for Nashville. He shot 4 shots, and it hit the goalie right in the maple leaf. Like, it couldn't have been, and they were going, "Oh, what a great save." Well, he just was standing there and the puck hit him, and then when he finally did score, he rifled it top corner.
Ovechkin, his last goal he got was right along the ice, right along the ice, went all the way. And I remember after every practice I'd have the defense lined up and they'd have to shoot, and if it went high or if it went, you know, in the bread basket, as I used to call it, I'd start over again, and I passed the puck. And we used to spend 15 minutes after every game.
Well, didn't you have a coach in when you were playing
junior?
Oh,
yeah,
A?
Hap M's. Yeah, I'll tell you that story. When I used to shoot high all the time, like a jerk, and or in the best bread basket. I used to think it was really good that I got that puck that
you
high.
You hit the net.
So he lined up 20 pucks, and he said, If you shoot high or in the bread basket, if you don't put it below 10
along the ice,
you have to start over again. So I'd get up around 17 or 18.
Oh, no.
Oh, and I'd get nervous. Sure enough, the 18th or 19th one would go up high, or not high, where he used to think it was high, start over again. Oh, I'd start all over again.
How many times did you do it?
I don't know how many times, but I tell you, my arms almost dropped off, and he didn't. He just stood there, do it again, and Hap M's, and boy, he was
the same guy that tied a puck around your neck.
He was I remember Eric Nestorenko. Remember? Well, anyhow.
No, I remember him, Eric Nestorenko.
How can you forget that name?
Eric Nestorenko. And he was supposed to be the answer to John Beliveau, you know, like
the Golden Boy,
young.
Was he?
And he went in and I'll never forget, it was headline. Well, it wasn't headline. It was in the paper. It had, "While Cherry played button, who's got the puck?" Eric Nestorenko went in and hit the puck. And I looked at the puck. He was pretty good. Eric Nestorenko. he actually tied a puck around my neck with a rope, and I had to go to high school with the puck around my neck. Well, I tell you one thing. And then when he finally did take the rope off, he had me carry a puck around in my pocket all the time to never look at a puck. I tell you, I used to step over the puck. I wouldn't. And that's the way we got taught back in those days. Well, like Montreal, they're playing pretty good now. Well, not now, but it's the old story. When you change coaches, you go on a run. Somebody's got to talk to Price. Like, are you going to play or you're not going to play? I mean, when he's on, he's the best goaltender in the world. Somebody's got to talk to him and say, look, are you going to play or you're not going to play? Because they can't go on. That's too valuable organization to be stringing them along.
But probably the management, you sort of feel sorry for them, because the thing is, if they put any type of pressure on him, all he has to say is one word to the newspaper. And
they can't do anything until they know what's going on with him. Because if he's not going to play, the first thing they got to do is go out and get a goalie.
Yeah.
And then if he is going to play, you know, then they got a $10 million contract on their hands, and they got to watch their, you know, they don't want to get in a situation like the Leafs are and get all tied up with a couple of guys.
Well, $10 million is a lot of space, as
and that's
say.
Why they can't trade.
Well, they got to sit down with him sometime and say.
But they can't trade him because of that.
No, nobody will trade him.
No,
nobody will. Money.
Unless they eat half the contract.
Yeah, if you eat half the contract, you'd mm-hmm. be worth a chance.
Yeah,
but. Nobody's going to talk. They just got to sit down with them and say, look, are you going to play or you're not going to play?
Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. They're a Canadian-owned online casino and sportsbook. And if you sign up now and use the promo Grapes, they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 10 spins on the big wheel. And if you get 3 of your jackets, you get some big
Unbelievable.
Dough.
Unbelievable.
And your first sports bet, they spot you $25.
Well, that's pretty good. And I tell you, I
you're picking games for them. You're doing pretty good. You're 10-3 right now.
I know. I'm pretty good. But I'd like to talk about Matt Chapman. I mean, picking this guy up.
Well, that's, yeah.
Baseball.
Baseball. The Blue Jays. You're a big Blue Jay fan.
I am a Blue Jay fan. And when they picked up Chapman, like he was an all-star 2019, I think it was. He had a hip injury last year. He was just getting over the hip injury. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't know how he's going to hit. He won't hit very high. Well, we must talk about Edmonton, and Toskinen is playing pretty good. That's all he needed was a goaltender going. And what are they are now, Tim?
Well, they're in a real it's funny how they're in a real dogfight, and it'll go right down. I bet you out in the West, they'll go right down to the last games of the season to see who's going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's
in the East, it's already pretty much set. And so far, it looks like Toronto's either going to face Florida or Tampa in the first round. So, which is always kind of weird, like the way the playoff is set. Like, just think, the Leafs or Tampa or Florida will be out in the first round.
Yeah, one of those good teams will be out. And one of them will be out.
Well, Edmonton's playing good, and as they say, poor Vancouver,
they're having a little tough time now. Bruce, he's on television. He's doing his best. And you got to have the goaltending. I don't care what you say. If you don't have the goaltending and... Calgary's got the goaltending. They've got everything going. I loved what you said. Sutter said about if the first team that beats Colorado.
Yeah, so they were talking about jockeying positions because, as they say, nobody knows what's going to go on in the out in West. And he said, well, he goes, you want to make sure that, he says, you don't face Colorado in the first round because, he says, that would be a waste of 8 days for you. So, Dad, we got an email or text, I should say, or whatever, on Facebook on our Rock'em Sock'em page. And somebody from Oshawa wanted to know if you ever played with or against Ross Lowe.
Oh, I remember Ross Lowe, boy. He played for Springfield. He somehow or other, he ended up in Springfield, which was the Devil's Island. I think he played in 3 seasons in the NHL. He was up and down the minors. Played 77 games in the, and then somehow or other he got with Montreal, but I remember I played against him my first year, and boy, he was a big tall guy, and he was good. He was really good. And 60 games, he got 82 points. 82 points.
And that was his when he was with Shore.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know how he ever got with Shore. And he won the scoring championship, and I played against him. And I remember this as plain as day. He was a big, tall guy, man. Really good. Really, really good. I remember I was laying on the ice, and I swung my stick at his foot, and he was, you know, he could have really creamed me, and I said, punk. Yeah, I remember he won the scoring title, and only 60 games back then. And he won the scoring title. Rangers signed him. And he was all set for a big year. He would have been great in the National Hockey League. And unfortunately, I forget the lake he went on, Halliburton Lake, I think. Anyway, he went to was out with his fishing with a buddy, and it was a hot day, and he went for a swim off the boat. Dove off the boat, and the boat started to drift away, and he drowned. And I always remembered that when I was a I was only 20 years old myself. Ross Lowe, boy, he would have been absolutely fantastic in the National Hockey League.
So, Dad, Eric Jordan and Mark Stahl all have played 1,000 games.
And pretty good hockey players, I'll tell you. All kind of different ones, a defenseman. And He's still going. He got cut the other day. He got whacked the other day.
Yeah, they all play, like, for them to get 1,000 games, because they all play kind of
and
a
they
big...
play tough. They play tough hockey. Well, I mean, they're not big 45-goal scorers, 50-goal scorers. They play a tough game. And remember the time, Tim, remember the time when we were sitting with Bobby Orr?
Yeah. And he was, it was in Peterborough, and it was a tournament. It was a big tournament, and yeah. There was overtime to get into the finals, and I think it might have been Eric, tried to put it off the glass, and it hit the stanchion, came back and hit the goalie, his goalie off the back of his head, and rolled in the back of the net for the...
I remember him down walking. He wouldn't come up to see us, and Bobby said, get down there and tell him to
yeah.
come up.
So I tried to look at what other brothers played 1,000 games.
I don't know. I really...
So, like, I thought Rocket Richard, well, Henri for sure, right, would have played 1,000 yeah. games, but the Rocket played 90. Didn't he?
Well,
just,
he had a broken ankle.
Yeah,
at this
he
time.
Just missed it. So it was the Sedin twins played 1,000 games.
Did they?
So then my one was surprised. Kevin and Darian Hatcher yeah, both played 1,000
games. Talk about playing tough hockey now. They really played
and
tough
hockey.
And
they had some injuries, too.
Yeah, right? They had some, yeah.
Scott and Rob Niedermeyer both played yeah. 1,000 games. And then Brett and Ron Sutter both
no
played
kidding,
both played 1,000 games. That was
And all those guys played a tough game. Brent, I remember Brent, he was crushed. He had a bad back. I never forgot this. He had a bad back. And Ludwig, remember Ludwig that played for Montreal Canadiens?
Right.
Yeah, he was a defenseman. He cross-checked him. He crawled along the ice. And he crawled in the bench. And I remember he had to go on Hockey Night in Canada, and everybody wanted to go on then. And I remember the sweat was pouring off him, and he was cut, and his back was killing him. You know, he'd crawl off the ice. And the guy gave him the water, and I never forgot. He said, thank you. I mean, with all
I remember that was always big with the players being interviewed on Hockey Night in Canada. They wanted the towel.
Oh yeah, that well they wanted the towel with
Hockey
Night Canada.
They wanted the towel that was around them.
Well, they still want the they want them with Hockey Night Canada.
Yeah, with that logo, it meant that they were on TV.
Yeah, and they got a towel, and that was a big deal back then. And if they didn't, if you forgot, they'd ask for the towel.
Oh, they would. I remember Dell used to work down there, and he used to have to get the towels. And,
yeah.
One time, it's a funny story. They couldn't find the key to get where they kept the towels.
Oh yeah.
So Dell, he could. I should say he could pick it and all this, and yeah. he got in to where they had to put them under lock and key because that's how quick they disappeared.
We couldn't get them. We could not.
Yeah, you asked for some for a charity, and they said
yeah,
no.
Charity, and they
yeah,
said
they
no.
They were very, very strict. Yeah. I think he took a whole bunch before he left. Hopefully.
Oh, I grabbed a few. When I
yeah, you grabbed a few too.
I got them. Anyhow. The Stahl brothers are 1,000 games, eh? Boy, that's yeah. a lot of games.
Well, the funny thing is, too, like, because when I was looking at that the Stahl brothers and two of the Sutter brothers, again, pretty tough, like, because we talked about the Iron Man hockey mm-hmm. back then.
Oh,
and Iron Man, you know, like, guys are going, oh, you know, they kind of play on the outside and they can play a lot of games. But those guys were...
Those guys were mean, tough guys.